of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet.
Oh.
humbly beseech thee to put away from us all hurtful things, and to give us those things which be profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Sunday after Trinity is written in Jeremiah chapter 31. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring them again from their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all the cities thereof together husbandmen and they that go forth with the flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Here ended the lesson. The epistle is written in the book of Romans, chapter 6. St. Paul writes, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here ended the epistle. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Look unto him and be lightened, and let your faces not be ashamed. Alleluia, alleluia. O clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Alleluia. Send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, Seven. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. And so they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left seven baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. This is the gospel of the Lord. God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to begin by looking at our catechism. And in our catechism, under the chief part of baptism, there are four questions. And the last of the four questions is this: what does such baptizing with water signify? Right. In addition to being a holy sacrament and a means of regeneration, baptism also signifies something. It signifies, Luther says, that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts. And again, a new man daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. And so, baptism signifies our Christian life of daily repentance, contrition and repentance, and daily faith in the redeeming Lord Jesus Christ, by which we are alive to God. Now, this is related to our epistle text for today. In verse 11 of chapter 6 of Romans, St. Paul says, "Likewise, reckon yourselves also dead indeed to sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the way Christians baptized into Christ are to think about themselves as they live in this world. You know, as a Christian, you have a past. Before your baptism, when you were dead in sin, and you were lost, and you were under God's wrath, and you were heading for eternal damnation. But thanks be to God that the God of all mercy did not leave you there, but He came to you in the waters of holy baptism. He washed away your sins, and He joined you together with Christ. And so, earlier in Romans 6, it says, "Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into His death?" So, when we were baptized into the death of Christ. We therefore were buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So in baptism was just not a customary thing that we do. You know how people treat it in the world, that baptism is, it doesn't do anything for anybody. It's just a kind of a rite of passage, just a custom. No, my friends, baptism saves us. Baptism is the means by which Jesus comes to us and applies to us all the benefits and blessings He has purchased and won for us once for all with His suffering, His death, and His resurrection. And we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. All right? It's like there's Jesus and his death, and there's us. And in baptism, we were intertwined together. All right? So that his death becomes our death, and our sins become his. You see? And he takes away our sins, and he gives us his death and resurrection, so that we have the forgiveness of sins and new life. Therefore, though we were in sin and in death, we are now not under the law, but under grace. St. Paul says in verse 14 of chapter 6, he says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. You have been snatched out of the atmosphere of law and condemnation, and you have been planted in the atmosphere, the new soil, if you will, a new situation. You have been planted under the grace and favor of God. That's what's true about you right now as a believing Christian. And you are also waiting for the day of the resurrection at the last day, the second coming of Christ, when he will raise up your body, and body and soul forever, you will be with Christ in the kingdom of glory, and there will be no more old Adam. There will be no more sinful nature. There will be no more weaknesses of the flesh. What a glorious day that will be. In the meantime, that should have been the title of my sermon. In the meantime, here we are in this world. We are told by the Lord, reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the way we are to think about ourselves as we live in this world. And therefore, we are not to allow sin and its power to bring us back under bondage. And that's where our epistle text proper begins. He says, listen, I'm giving you a human illustration. I speak after the manner of men. I'm giving a human illustration because of the infirmity of your flesh. All right? I know these things are difficult to understand, he's saying. But, he says, as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. So that's what you did do, all right? He says, you have yielded your members, that means the parts of your body, you have yielded them slaves in the service of uncleanness and of iniquity that begets even more iniquity. That's what you've done. You have yielded yourself as a slave in service to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Now, you did do that. He says, even so now, while you live as a baptized, redeemed, blood-bought child of God, but you are still waiting for the consummation of all things on the last day. You're not in heaven yet, but you have become heavenly in your soul, all right? And so, he says, even so now, in this present life, Yield your members, the parts of your body, yield your members as slaves, servants, slaves to righteousness unto holiness. So who is it that you want to be a servant of? Do you want to be a servant of unrighteousness, uncleanness, and iniquity? Or do you want to be a servant to righteousness, which ends in holiness? All right? So he puts an alternative before us. Remember how it used to be when you yielded yourself as slaves to sin? Even so now, in the grace of God, yield your members, servants, to righteousness, which results in holiness. And then he draws a contrast. He says, for when you were the servants or the slaves of sin, right? When you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Think about it. You know, now many of you have been devout Christians for your whole lives, and so it's hard for you to understand this. But others of you have come to the Christian faith late in life, and you remember very vividly the life of unbelief and sin, and the attitudes of unbelief and sin that you were subject from. And so Paul is saying, when you were the slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. The pastor would preach and you'd go, bah, all right? People would encourage you to do the right thing and not the wrong thing, and you go, bah, I do what I want. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm a free person, right? And so he says, when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And you might think he's saying a good thing, but listen, he says, what fruit had you then? Right? When you were free from righteousness and you were the servants of sin, what good did it do you? What fruit did you have then? In those things whereof you are now ashamed, the end of those things is death. You hear that? Hear that? So think about that. He says, you know, you were once free from righteousness. The preacher would preach and you would just say, bah. Right? But what was the benefit to you? Where did it get you? Where all of that vaunted freedom, all of that vaunted independence, what did it get you? It got you nowhere. Why? Because even though you were free from righteousness, even though you were the servants of sin, you are now ashamed of the things you did then, and the end of those things, the result of all that stuff, is death. And he doesn't just mean to physically die. He means eternal damnation in the fires of hell. He goes on and he says, but now, always pay very careful attention to those kinds of words, because the previous words are kind of distressing. But he says, but now, being made free from sin, all right, you have had your sins washed away. You live not under the law which condemns you, but under the grace of God, which constantly ministers the forgiveness of sins to you, all right? Being made free from sin and having become servants to God, you have your fruit. Oh, now you have something fruitful going on in your life, all right? You had no fruit when you were the slaves of sin. And when you were free from righteousness, you had no fruit. But now that you are free from sin and a servant to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. The Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you moves you to live in accordance with the Word of God. You are daily in your life as a Christian moved to be sorry for your sins, to repent of your sins, and to believe that for Christ's sake, your sins are thoroughly and completely forgiven. And in the light of that forgiveness, under the grace of God, you have your fruit unto holiness. You lead a holy life, and you are looking forward to the fulfillment of your baptism in everlasting life. Listen, you have eternal life right now, but you're still living in the world and you're not in heaven yet. Nevertheless, in your baptism, in the gospel of Christ, in the Lord's Supper, in holy absolution, you have eternal life. But on the last day, when you see the full fruition of it, it will be so marvelous when all the promises become exclamation points, and when all of the waiting fades away in a glorious realization of the fulfillment of God's gracious purpose in your life. So he says, so being made free from sin and become servants to God, now you have fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. This is why we strive as Christians to live godly lives. And then he closes by saying this: the wages of sin is death. All right, you want to talk about merit? You want to talk about earning? Well, sin pays wages. And the wages that it pays, on payday, what do you get? Death. And he doesn't just mean physical death. He means eternal death. All right? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God that he has taken us out from under the wage slavery of sin, and through the forgiveness of our sins, through the full payment that Jesus made for our sins in his own body and death on the cross, through this redemption, we are now the recipients of the gift of God, which is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the Christian's relationship with sin? We're not going to let sin dominate us. Why? Because we are not under the law. We are under grace. And we have received the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
thou living God, eternal Father in heaven, we give you hearty thanks for the multitude of thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, which have been ever of old, for creating us into everlasting life, redeeming us through Jesus Christ from sin and destruction, sanctifying and calling us by the Holy Spirit to the knowledge of thy glory. O Lord, we are not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which daily thou showest unto us. It is of thy mercies that we are not consumed, because thy compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. May we day by day have an increasing sense of thy bountiful goodness, and being drawn to thee by love, surrender and consecrate to thee our own selves and all that we possess to the glory of thy holy name. And as no unclean person shall stand in thy sight, blot out our transgressions by the merits of Jesus the righteous, and grant us thy grace, that we may not deceive ourselves and devise excuses for our sins, but denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, take up our cross and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Suffer not thy word to return unto thee void. Instruct both young and old in the truth of thy gospel. Enlighten and sanctify the ministers of the word, and cause all hearers to receive the word, not with ears only, but with hearts. Encompass with thy perpetual mercy thy whole Christian church on earth, and also this congregation. Stretch forth thy right hand and thy holy arm, and prevent the wicked one from disquieting thy children by his malicious devices. May it please thee to bless, to cherish, and to preserve the vine which thy right hand hath planted, that thy name might be glorified. Look with favor upon all civil rulers and those under their jurisdiction, upon churches and schools, parents and children, masters, servants, that they may faithfully discharge their duties according to thy will. Have mercy upon the nations of the world that are still living in heathen darkness, and bring them to the knowledge of thine only begotten Son. O thou who didst not create man in vain, send faithful laborers into thy harvest, and strengthen those whom thou hast sent, that they may proclaim thy truth with boldness. Let them not be ashamed of tribulations for the sake of the gospel, but consider them an honor and a precious adornment. O faithful Father, we commend to thy care all thy children throughout the whole earth. And as thou lovest Christ the head, even so do thou bless and increase his members according to thy great goodness. We pray especially today for Joel Jarris and for Eva Tancredi. Let our prayer be a sweet incense and our faith a victory, that we may go forth in thy power and knowledge and overcome all evil. And when thou art pleased to try us in the furnace of afflictions, comfort us again that we may behold thy glory and praise thee. O Lord, we beseech thee, hear our prayer. Do not let our petitions fail. For the sake of the perfect redemption and powerful intercession of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.